house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. I know it's inconvenience. We having this revival at the last minute. But when you're following God, God don't tell you when he's going to turn and when he's going to go this direction and when he's going to go that direction. We just need to stay in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen. When we hear the voice of God, we need to just stop and go his direction. Amen. Praise God. Brother Hurt, come on. Amen. Minister and do what God put on your heart to do.
Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I thank the Lord. Can I get some more monitor? I thank the Lord for being here tonight. It is, I believe that it is really, truly in the will of God that we're here. I was speaking to a preacher the other day, today on the phone, as a matter of fact, and I was telling them, I said, man, I said, I was speaking concerning another place that I may possibly have to go. And I told them, I said, I'm not looking for a place to preach. There are many street corners you can preach on, but it's really about making sure that you're at the right place at the right time. It's about finding the perfect will of God and walking in it. Amen. 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 And I believe it's the will of God that we're here. And because of that, we give him praise. We give him honor. Amen. Give honor to the pastor of this house. Amen. Brother Pastor Roberts and his wife are giving us the opportunity to be here and serve you. The Bible declares that God said, I will give you pastors after his own heart. Not after the heart of man, not after the heart of the congregation, not after the heart of the world, but after the heartbeat of God. And whenever you find a man of God, whenever you find a God-sent pastor, it is imperative that you give that pastor unlimited access to the things concerning your soul. Because the Bible declares that God gives us pastors and they watch for our soul. And the Bible says, though those that rule well, he said they should be counted worthy of double honor. And tonight we honor your leader. Amen. He's not my pastor. He's my brother. He's my friend. But he's your pastor. And right now I think it would be in order if you would honor the Lord and honor your leader for a hand clap of praise unto God. Hallelujah. How many years has it been, Pastor?
4 years.
4 years. I'm telling you that when you are pastoring, when you're in ministry, it's like 4 years is like dog years. It's like, you know, our 4 years is different, you know, than everybody else's 4 years. We thank the Lord for what he has done in the midst of these past 4 years. I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Nice to see some faces in here, some new faces I haven't seen before. Amen. Amen. If you're a visitor in this house, I want you to raise your hand if you're a first-time visitor. Amen. Tell the first time visitor that you love her. Amen. We're so happy that you're here. I'm not from here. I'm from Indianapolis. I'm just a preacher. I travel the country full time and out of the country. Some call me an evangelist, some call me a prophet, but the Lord calls me George. And I'm here on an assignment from the Lord. This is the pastor of this house. This is his wife. And these will be people that will play a major part in your life. A major part. It's not by coincidence that you're here. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew, there is no word for coincidence. Why? God set it up. And we thank God for that tonight. Amen. I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I know some of you have been standing. Some of you have been standing on the job all week, all day. So let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'm just going to go with the first verse. It says, to everything there is a season and a time and a purpose under heaven. I want to talk to you tonight about seasons. About seasons. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your authority. I'm asking, God, that you fill people with the Holy Ghost, deliver, break chains and shackles in this house. Let there be revelation. Let something be activated, Lord, in this place. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking, Lord, that your authority be in this room. Let your kingdom come and your will be done this day on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Put your hands together and give the Lord a great praise. Amen. You can be seated. There are many different, the Bible says that a person should never think more highly of themselves than what they ought to think. Because what God does is God gives to each person a certain measure of faith. And what God may give to me is not the same. So what God will give to you and what God gives to you may not be the same as what God gives to the person next to you. But when God gives according to the purpose and the plan that he has for your life. And I believe that when it comes down to it, we are all equally loved of God the same. However, we're not all equally used of God the same. And oftentimes in the world that we live in, I was speaking to a preacher not long ago, and I was talking about the culture of competition that is in this country and the culture of competition that is also in the church. And sometimes when you start dealing with competition, it actually has a tendency to create confusion in the body of Christ. It makes people become more insecure. It creates a culture of superiority and a culture of inferiority. And what happens is people no longer begin to believe that they can do all things through Christ. But after a while, what happens is a person becomes isolated and they feel like they can do nothing for Christ. And then they believe that there's only a few people that can do all things through Christ. I am not what, and this is not what I'm just saying, this is what has been spoken about me in the past. I'm not like the typical cookie cutter preacher or evangelist or itinerant preacher that comes in. And it's not to cast anything against those guys, because those guys are very effective in what they do. As a matter of fact, I know some men that are very effective in having revivals. They see thousands of souls being saved throughout the year. They see God do many great things. They speak and they preach with greater eloquence than what I could ever preach or teach. There are men that are just very talented and they're gifted in what they do. I'm one that if God does not help me, nothing is going to happen. I'm dependent upon literally the leading of the Holy Ghost at all times. Even to the place where I'm not the preacher that sometime you got some preachers that come in and they kind of know exactly what they're going to preach. They have everything just kind of just lined out. And there are times when God will make me aware of what he wants to say. And then there are times that God will not allow me to look and see all of what he intends on doing. But he will give me the spirit of that message. And he'll put me in a position that he'll make me literally feed me one spoon at a time. And sometimes when I'm up in the pulpit and I'm ministering to people, if you notice, I'm very selective with, it appears, I'm very selective with my words. Because some of it, what I am speaking, I'm not speaking something that's already written down. But usually, as God is using me to hand feed or spoon feed you the word of the Lord, God is spoon feeding me at that same time. It is my desire, it is my intent to make sure that when I leave the place better than where it was at. As a matter of fact, there are many people that say, Brother Hurt, some revivals we do, it's like, man, it explodes. And then there's some places we go to, and it's like the explosion takes after we leave. And I am one that has developed a reputation throughout the years of being one that we have a very effective ministry. It is no doubt that God is with us. It is not by any power of our own. It's not by any cliches or anything that we have of our own. Everything that we're able to do and everything that God has done, everything that has been brought forth, has happened through the power of God. I don't have the market cornered. I'm not the individual that sits back and can turn this thing on and turn it off. I can't fast and pray enough to be able to just control what the Holy Ghost is going to do. But the only thing I can do is submit myself to the leading of the Spirit of God and find out what the will and the plan and the purpose that God has for that moment and fulfill it. So with that being said, this church, thank you, is in a season. And sometimes what happens is, I remember when I first started evangelizing, and when I first started, there was this, almost like this pressure, because people were expecting something, and there were people that would hear of something that God did at one church, and then they would come and they would have the expectation that what God did over there, God's going to do right here. And sometimes what God is trying to do is not just to duplicate or to mimic what has happened somewhere else. But what God does is God's complete purpose is that we would all grow. Grow in the unity of the faith, grow in the power and the things of God, grow in the relationship with God, and become more productive concerning the things of God. I am a voice. I'm not the pastor of this house. The pastor of this house has the call of nurturing the sheep. He has to feed the flock of God. He has a responsibility of shepherding you in a way that will bring you, that he can present you before God with no problem. You have to understand that when it comes down to all the offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, it takes all of those offices to perfect the body. But can I tell you that there is one part of that office that will have to give an account for your soul? And that is the office of a pastor. And that means that if a person is going to be close to any office, it has to be the office of that pastor. That means that regardless of who it is in your life, regardless of your connection with a preacher or an evangelist or a pastor somewhere else or a teacher, the most important relationship that you could ever be connected to is to the office of your pastor. And I've come to tell everybody in this room that if you don't have a pastor, someone that you're submitted to, someone that is God called and God sent. Because God's called some of these men, but God hasn't sent all of them. But when you have a God called, God sent leader, it is your responsibility at that moment to submit yourself to that leadership, that you may be not only perfected, but you can be presented before God without having anything to fear. The Bible declares that in this scripture, it says to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. It says a time to be born and a time to die. Everybody in this world comes into this world one time. And when we leave this world, we're going to leave it one time. Everybody is going to be born once. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So therefore, your purpose that God has for your life is going to be fulfilled within what some people say in between, in that dash. It's not just so much the year that you were born or the year that you died that matters. It's a lot to do with what's going on in between. And a lot of times the doctors can predict the date of your birth, but no one can actually predict the date of your departure. There are many people that leave this world, and they leave this world at the time that they did not expect. There's some people that leave this world and they go beyond the years of what they expected. Then there's some people that leave this world, and when they leave, nobody saw it coming. I was looking online the other day, and I saw where several children ended up dead. Mother decided that she was going to pull her car over on the bridge, and she jumped out the car and gets onto the bridge, and she jumps off the bridge, leaving her children in the vehicle. Children are sitting there not realizing that mother is getting ready to take her last drive. You got to understand that not only do people that are older watch people leave out of here early, but sometimes children watch their parents leave out of here early. And that means that a person has to then say, well, then at that moment, there are some people that say, well, then it was actually God's plan and it was actually God's will for them to leave at that time. I've come to tell you that God gives us time. God gives us a season, and God gives it for a purpose. But if we don't do anything with that season, you see what I'm saying? Or if we decide that we're going to quit, we're going to clock out, and we're done, and we're going to jump off the bridge, then it was the will of God, perfect will of God, for you to actually see this whole season through that you will bring forth. Ultimately, when we begin to look at men that are farmers, I don't know if we have anybody in this room that's ever done any farming. I've never been a farmer, but if you look in Indiana, if you go down the highway, you will find all kind of cornfields. And there's a time to plant, there's a time to water, and there's a time to reap. You have to understand that if the farmer decides that at this moment he is going to stop in the middle of the process to see what, stop in the middle of the process and say, you know what, I'm no longer going to continue to water what has been planted. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up. I'm not going to pull the weeds up. I'm not going to prepare for the next season, but I'm going to pull out of this thing. Then what will happen is basically you are forfeiting the potential that God had for you, because everybody in this room that is born into this world is born with potential. Everybody in this room is born with a purpose. And what's going on is that not only do you have plants that have purposes, and not only do you have individuals that are born with a purpose, but I've come to tell you that every church has a purpose. You have to understand that the purpose of us is to be salt and light in the earth. That's one of the reasons why God still has us here. And when we are here, we're not here just to be existing. We're not here just to kind of watch our grandchildren grow up. We're not here just to enjoy the pleasures and the affairs of this life. When that happens, and what happens is you're no longer spending your season the right way. You have winter, you have spring, you have summer, you have fall. And then what happens is you'll turn around and you have winter again. And before I traveled full time and I was stationary in Indianapolis, I remember that when the winter time came and it would start getting very cold and I'd watch my gas bill go up, I then would say, man, I really wish that springtime would hurry up and get here. And then turn around when springtime gets here, I'm now wishing that the rainy season was over with, and that summertime would hurry up and get here. And then what happens is after the summertime gets here and I'm dealing with all the heat, I can't wait till the fall gets here. And that basically lets us know that many of us never are completely satisfied in the season that we're in. Many of us are not satisfied in the season that we're in, because when we finally get to that season, it's always something about that season that we don't like. Even when it comes down to after the summer, the scorching heat is over with. Now it's harvest time, and when you want to sit back and enjoy the leaves on the tree, the Lord says it's really time to work. It's really time to go out and reap what has been sowed. And the reason why I'm talking like this is because if you're going to be successful in your ministry, because everybody in this room has a ministry, amen, if you're going to be successful in fulfilling the purpose, the Bible says to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. If you're going to be successful in that, you're going to have to learn how to be patient. Some of you, your whole lives are messed up. Some of you, your lives are just completely out of whack. Some of you are completely off balance. Some of you are putting more energy in this place and less energy in that place. Some of us, you ever met somebody that, you ever bought a vehicle, you know, and I'm the person that, like, I don't really like to go buy brand new vehicles. I don't like going to car lots. I don't like debt. I don't like I don't like car payments. So I'm the guy that I will save up my money, and when I start getting so many miles on the vehicle, I will then sell that vehicle at the highest rate that I can, because I bought it at a good price. And then I'll take that cash and I'll put more cash with it. And then I'll go and I'll buy a vehicle cash. And sometimes what happens is you'll get that one vehicle. And there's some people that, you know, you pull up and you get there. And I'm nervous when I see lights on the dashboard. I get concerned when I see a check engine light. I get concerned when I see a light that doesn't make sense. I'm the guy that goes to AutoZone, and I ended up eventually buying me one of those readers and say, I want to know why this light is on this dash. I don't want to ignore it. I don't want to act like, you know, I don't see it. And some people are not bothered at all by the fact that you've got lights, warning lights on your vehicle, or warning lights on your life that is saying that, hold on, something's not hidden. There's a guy, I mean, one guy, he said, man, you know, oh, it's nothing but an O2 sensor. That O2 sensor can, you know, that little bad, what you call nothing but an O2 sensor, if I let that thing go unchecked, it's going to cause even greater problems. And the first thing is, I'm going to start losing gas. There are people in this room that you don't know what it is like to have drive with your car on a full tank of gas. There's some people, you know, they once it gets past that quarter, their fill up is a quarter of a tank. You ever met anybody like that? They are the quarter of a tank people. They never know how to come and get their tank filled. They only know how to get a quarter of a tank, and they will have enough money in the bank. But some people can't see themselves spending the extra money to go ahead and fill the whole tank up. Some of us, the way that we treat our vehicles is the same way we treat our souls. Yeah. Some of us, the way we treat our vehicles is the same way we treat our marriage. Some of us, the way we treat our vehicles is the same way we treat our children. And do you understand that when you refuse to take care and be a good steward over what you have, how in the world are you going to expect God to give you more? I sat back this morning, and after me and my son were praying, we get up, we try to pray every morning. And after we were praying, we were praying together, and I was praying for him. And the Lord brought something to my attention. And I noticed that, you know, I said, all right, I need him to have a little bit more discipline, a little bit more self-control over, you know, I try to give him some gum, a pack of gum once a week. And, you know, I was like, I need to make sure that, you know, instead of him spending it, you know, eating it within 3 days, I want him to start trying to make, you know, a pack of gum stretch further than that. You know, he's a kid, and many of us have been kids, and I get it, you know. Many of us, when we were children, before they had the chewing gum, we would go and we'd get those bubble gum, and the flavor didn't last that long. So you put like about 2 or 3 pieces in your mouth. You walk around, you're chewing, and it looks like you got tobacco. And eventually, you know, you found out that you're not being a good student. And I went downstairs. You know, we left the Evangelist quarters. We went downstairs to the basement, and I sat down and I talked to him for a while, and I said, Isaac, I said, I need you to understand that if you're going to get anywhere in life, you're going to have to learn how to be a good steward. See, I said, do you want to be broke or do you want to have money? He said, I want to have money. I said, do you want to ride a bike the rest of your life or do you want a car? He said, I want a car. I said, do you want to live in a cardboard box or do you want to have a house? He said, I want to have a house. I said, do you want to flip burgers at McDonald's or do you want your own business? He said, I want my own business. I said, well, Isaac, if you're going to be successful in that, you have to learn how to be a good steward over small things. Some of us create bigger problems. Some of us, praise the Lord, you know, being honest with you, really trying to minister to you tonight. Yeah. Because, listen, I come here, we can have miracle signs and wonders, but you're not going to go anywhere. I come in here, we can pray everybody through to the Holy Ghost, and nobody will stick. The Bible declares that you cannot be perfected. My office is not here just to grow a church. It is not here just a spark of fire. I'm here to perfect you. All right? So what happens is I come as a different kind of voice. What do you mean? Somebody might be like, well, man, I want God to tear the roof off this place. Is it the season? Some of us right now, we're desiring things that are for another season. And if you keep trying to do, if you keep trying to grab hold for something that's in another season, you're going to mess around. You're going to mess your family up. You're going to mess around. You're going to mess your life up. You're going to mess around and you're going to mess your walk with God up. Why? Because you got to learn how to be content in the season that God's called you to. The Bible even declares, even when it comes down to preaching, be instant in season as well as out of season. There's some things that you have to learn how to be patient with and wait on. The issue is that many of us in this room is like the vehicle. It's broke, you know, and, you know, all you got to do is just take it to the shop. All you got to do is just sit back and say, you know what? This thing is actually getting worse. But you ever seen somebody, they say, oh, it ain't nothing, it'll be all right. And then what happens is when they say it's nothing and they say it's going to be all right, what happens is that thing ends up getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Somebody in this room tonight needs to say, Lord, help me to quit overlooking the small things. God can't give you the big things because you won't take care of the small things. You got to understand that God is a detailed God. Everything in this world, he put it there for a reason. I was sitting back the other day, and I was like, Lord, why in the world did you even make carpenter bees? Why in the world would you even make mosquitoes? Why? Like you serve no purpose. I was looking at the stink bugs. I haven't seen any out here, but back home we got these stink bugs, and they keep getting into the house. I haven't seen any in the past, you know, week or so, but they keep getting in the house. I'm like, what is your purpose? And it seems so small and it seems so insignificant. But listen, you got to understand that if God put it in your life and God created it and God has given it to you, it serves a purpose. And we have the responsibility of making sure that we are good stewards over it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was a child, my mother and my father used to sit back and they used to talk about dysfunctional families. There was a comedian that came out and he was talking about, like, he made jokes about dysfunctional families. So that was like the buzzword for a while. And I remember my father talking about dysfunctional families, and I didn't realize that what he was talking about dysfunctional families, when I really found out what a dysfunctional family was, I'm like, dude, we're sitting back here, we'll laugh, we're talking about everybody else, but we're about as dysfunctional as everybody else that you're talking about. Even to the place where we are convinced that there is nothing, everybody has a dysfunctional family. And like basically, it's supposed to be that way. Everybody's supposed to have a dysfunctional church. Everybody is supposed to have a dysfunctional ministry. Listen, if God is wanting to have lordship over everything in our life, do you believe that God can be Lord over everything and it be dysfunctional? No. And what's happening is, what we want is we want the big things and we're ignoring the details. If you start taking out some of those small things in your life and say, well, that doesn't matter. It's like a guy, it's like a mechanic one time, he took my vehicle apart and then next thing you know, he put stuff back together and there's bolts sitting there. Oh, no, I don't know why, you know, you got a Ford, you know, Ford just do dumb stuff. They put their stuff together wrong. You need to get rid of this Ford and trade it in for a Chevy. You know, they do dumb stuff, you know. This is a Chrysler part. I don't even know why you got this Chrysler, you know. It's just a pretty piece of junk, you know. You need to get rid of it because they put stuff on there that you don't really need. And you got to understand that if the manufacturer put it there, it's there for a purpose. And if you take care of it it'll take you further. My wife was telling me a few weeks ago. She said that she was looking on the internet, and there was a vehicle that went how many miles? She's like, there was a, what kind of vehicle was it? She said it was a Honda Accord that turned around and went 500,000 miles, and the man never changed the transmission. The man never changed his engine. All the man, huh? Yeah. Yeah, he took care of his car. And, you know, the thing is, I know he didn't change the transmission, because if it was, that wouldn't be in the story. That wouldn't be a story. But he had changed little parts and little knick-knack stuff. And every once in a while, you're going to have to change some stuff in your life. Amen. Every once in a while, you're going to need to go get a new alternator. Every once in a while, you're going to need to get a new starter. Sometimes you don't start up the same way you used to. Sometimes that alternator is not charging your battery the way that it should. And every once in a while, you have the responsibility of going and putting in something and changing something. It was good while it lasted. But if this is the only vehicle, listen, you've only got this life. Yeah. Now, many of us, we're used to, you know, we don't like this house, we go get another house. We don't like this car, we go get another car. We don't like this job, we go get another job. We don't like this part of the church, we go find another church. But listen, church, you only have one life. You only have one vessel. Listen, I don't care how much you hate the body that you're in. I don't care how much those knees go bad. You know what? You're not going to go get somebody else's body. Right. You're not going to be like, you know what, Stanley, I'm out of here. I'm getting ready to go to Amazon. They're giving out new bodies. I'm getting ready to, you know, you're getting fat. I'm getting ready to go get me a new body. I'm going to get smaller. We would like that. You know, many of us probably would stay like we're in the 20s. But that's not what's given to us. You know what's given to us? We have the responsibility of being stewards. You've got one daughter, you got one son. I have one daughter, I have one son. You have how many? Two sons. All right. Listen. Even if God gave you more daughters and more sons, you'll never be able to get that one daughter and that one son back. And God is given, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. If you're faithful over small things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Many of the problem in this world is that many people have become ruler over big things without being good steward over small things. And what happens is we don't have we lack the discipline of taking care and being responsible over things that are given to us within a particular season in our life. And here it is, God is saying, I want to increase. I want you to begin to focus in this area. I want you to work on your relationship with God. And you're like, Lord, I understand working on my relationship with God, but I want to go to college. Or I'm trying to work on trying to get this raise. I'm trying to work on trying to get this promotion. I'm trying to work in this area. Or God is saying, you know, I want to work on your ministry, and you're like, yeah, I'm ready. I want to tear this world. I want to turn my city upside down. But the Lord's like, no, I want you to focus on your prayer life. Or no, God, I really want to see a major breakthrough. I really want to see some prophecies that you have spoken come to pass. I believe it'll happen right now. Listen, I don't care if you believe it'll happen now. I don't care if you believe it will happen yesterday. I don't care how much you pray and fast and you believe God. If it is not the season for it to happen, you're not going to change the will of God by your faith and by your praying and fasting and by your believing. You have to, and what God is saying And what I hear the Lord saying, because listen, I've been praying, I've been talking to God today, and what I hear the Lord saying to this church, he said, there's some things you need to begin to hone in and focus on. There's some things, he said, that I want to do in this season. There's some of you in this room, praise the Lord, you're just trying to get to the next season. God said you need to be patient within the season that I have you in, because I promise you that when wintertime comes, if you are actually productive during your winter season, you're going to wish that you actually had a little bit more if you're utilizing the season that you have. If you are very productive and you are using that that spring season for the purpose that it was designed for, I promise you, you're going to wish that you had just a few more days left in that spring. If you were utilizing that summer season the way that you should have and was productive with it, you're going to probably wish that you had a few more days. It's just like if you're living on earth, by the time you die and you're getting ready to die, and next thing you know, here you are, you're coming on the threshold. You're no longer going up the hill, but now you're going down the hill, and now you're going so far down the hill, it's like you're going fast, like you've been going downhill for a long time, and now since your age has been going down here for a long time, you're looking around like, Stanley, we might be leaving here pretty soon. And what happens is, when you're starting to go downhill, you know what happens? What happens is now you start focusing and start saying, oh my God, I wish I could get my 50s back, or I wish I could get my 40s back, or I wish that I could get last year back. Is there anybody in this room that did not handle some business maybe at some time in your life that you wish you could go back and do some things over again? Is there anybody in this room that ever said, man, I wish I could get my 20s back. I wish that I could get my 30s back. I wish I could get my 40s back. I wish I could go back to college. I wish I could go back to high school. I wish I would have done some things different. I would have made some better decisions. I would have made some better choices. I would have invited certain people into my life, and I would have removed other people out of my life. But what happened was you did not fulfill. You were not a good steward over that season. What do you mean? You kept feeling like sometimes we're in this world and people are like, you know, I'm not comfortable where I'm at. I want a bigger house. I want this. And you know, we're living in a world where I remember my grandmother. I went over her house the other day. And when I go over my grandmother's house, my grandmother and my grandfather were not rich people, but they worked their whole life to get the stuff that they have. They take care, and the stuff that they have, they've had it for years, all right? And the thing is, they've taken care of it. She's got the best stuff. She's got the best tablecloth. She's got the best furniture. She had the best of everything. But you knew what? She learned how to save. She learned how to take care of her business. She learned how to be patient. We are living in a generation that we get stuff quick, fast, in a hurry. Back then, they didn't have credit cards. They had cash. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? But now we learn how to get what we want and pay for it later on. God said, if you're patient, I'll give it to you later on. And some of us in this room, with the reason why you're frustrated and the reason why things are not functioning the way you are, the reason why you can't get no rest, and the reason why you don't have any time for this and you don't have any time for that, and the reason why it's like everything is just getting away from you and nothing is actually flowing and working the way that you want it to work, is because you're trying to function in the kingdom of God with a spiritual credit card. Can I tell somebody in this room that God said it is time for you to redeem the time that you have instead of wasting time? What do you mean? Say, Lord, help me to grab hold of the time that I have. What are you doing with this time? Do you even know the purpose for why, God? It doesn't matter what kind of desire you have. Listen, do you understand that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt land, he told them, I'm going to take you to the promise. But listen, before they got there, he said, hold on, before you go to the promise, I want you to get a hold of me first. He gave them the tabernacle. You understand that some of us want to come straight out of our, come straight out of our mess and go straight into the promised land. God said, no, you're not going to go straight out of your mess, straight into the promised land until you get a hold of me first. Why? Because I need you to value me more than you value the promise. I need you to be more in love with me than you're more in love with the promise. Why? Because I'm the God of your promise. But if you don't love me and you don't get a hold of me, you'll make a God out of your promise instead of a God that gave you the promise. So you mean some people backslide and walk away from God. Why? Because God didn't get them to their promised land fast enough. You, some of us, the Bible declares, in your patience, possesseth your soul. Church, if you have no patience, you will not have a perfect work. And the reason why everything in your life keeps falling down, it keeps, you're always frustrated, you're always bitter, you're making everybody in your life bitter, you're making everybody in your life frustrated, you bounce from this person to that person, you're looking for people to tell you what you want to hear and tell you what you want to do, it's because you're not being perfected by patience. So when patience is not having its perfect work, you know what's happened? Destruction is. Things are slowly breaking down. So it's like somebody taking a bucket of water and putting it in this jug, and there's holes in the bottom of this thing. That no matter how much you work, and no matter how much you pour, and no matter how much you do, you know what's going to happen? It's going to keep falling through. It's going to keep coming out. It's going to keep coming out. And what God is saying today is God is saying it is time for you to learn how to redeem and say, you know what, Lord, what is your plan for where I'm at right now? Amen. See, the issue is many of us will say, well, we don't know. And God is saying, I know you don't know. See, the many of us, if we knew the complete purpose or knew every little detail about why God has you in this season, you will go ahead of God and try to hurry up and get everything done so you can get your flesh satisfied. And your flesh, friend, doesn't always have to be going out and doing something immoral. Your flesh is just going out and just doing what you want to do, the way that you like to do it, and basically going to a place being a worker of iniquity. So how do I find out and how do I fulfill the plan of God? God says the way that you do this is you get a hold of him, and you, where you find out the purpose of God is you seek his face. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. You begin to seek his will. You begin to seek his ways. You say, Lord, the Bible says, be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. If it's all about you, it will never be about him. If it's all about what you want, if it's all about the way that you want to do it, listen, we have a really good way of taking God's stuff and say, you know what, I got a way of doing it. Do you understand there have been times where God, where I remember I had a plan, like when I decided that, you know, when I turned our church over, I was going to go and plant another church in Indianapolis. And I had this big, grand, big scheme. I mean, scheme, praise the Lord. This big old, grand old vision on how this thing was going to work. It was like the greatest master plan that anybody could have put together. I was going, doing all this footwork and putting in all this energy. I'm telling you, man, like, this thing was going to work. Until God said, stop. Well, what do you mean, stop? I mean, this stuff is working. Listen, just because we get the resources, listen, there's a gentleman that I used to do business with. He was a really corrupt man. I quit doing business with him because he stole from me. But this man, basically, there was a little business deal, and basically, he was teaming up with a company, and the company that he was teaming up with, they were filtering some of their materials for the job. They were bringing, you know, the materials were coming through his name. But with the man turned around, but there was an agreement back there that, you know, basically he was going to give the materials to them, and basically in the end they would, you know, tally up the money, he'd get paid and blah, blah, blah. Totally legal. Well, this guy turns around and what he does is he gets the material, but he takes material for himself. He steals about $10,000 worth of material off of one of the jobs and takes it for himself, goes to some of his other clients, and then he sells the $10,000 worth of material that he's got for free, sells it to his clients at a markup price. Why? Because that material, we could mark it up 30%. So he marked it up. So now he stole $10,000 off of someone and made an additional thousands of dollars on another person. Do you understand that just because you get something and you do something and it works does not mean that that's the plan of God? God said, I gave you this material for a purpose. And some of us, we may have this plan, we may have this idea, but have you ever considered that your plan and your idea is conflicting with the perfect will of God, not just for your life, but for the perfect will of God for everybody else's life? What are you saying, Brother Hurt? I'm telling you, church, that the purpose for seasons, the reason why a farmer needs a season is for there to be some fruit. I was overseas and a man said, Brother Hurd, he said, we're going to grow these trees over here. And he said, when we grow these trees, he said, in about 7 years, he said, it's going to yield so much money. He said, we're expecting a $5 billion increase profit that is going to turn when these trees are finished. Certain kind of trees, they turned around, they bought up all this property and all these little villages and all that stuff. And he said, five more years, because 2 years had already passed. He said, in 5 more years, he said, this thing is going to turn a $7 billion profit. You got to understand, church, that the purpose, but year round, season after season, there was somebody working that field. Listen, you're not going to turn the God prophet, praise the Lord, that God is looking for, if you're not redeeming the time and you're not out there working in the field. Listen, you can go and you can make an investment, or you can go and you can plant stuff in the field, my friend. But just because you show up at the end of the 7 year, praise the Lord, because you show up doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It's like you going to work and you get paid every other Friday. Listen, you can get paid every other Friday all you want to. Payday comes every other Friday. But if you do nothing in between Monday, in between that time, my friend, you can show up on payday all you want to. But if you're not out there redeeming the time, working in the field, doing what you're supposed to do, when payday comes, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get anything. So what's happening is there are people in this room, you're frustrated. You know why? Because you've missed seasons. You've missed seasons. Somebody in this room, you know what I'm talking about. There are people that they're like, man, I don't know why my lights are getting cut off. I don't know why my house is in foreclosure. I don't know why I'm losing my car. Well, I'll tell you why. The reason is you're not going to work. I mean, if you don't go to work, even the Bible says a man that don't work, don't eat. You know, so what God is saying, praise the Lord, is you got a person that is sitting here, you're not working, so the end result of you not working is you're not going to eat. You got to understand that if you want to eat, you got to work. And if you want to see the things of God, if you want to receive your reward, you have to be a faithful servant. Faithful over what? Not faithful over doing what you think will work, but faithful over doing what he wants to work. You're not a tool that dictates how God is going to do it. You are a tool in the hand of God, and he dictates how he wants to do it. We have the responsibility of submitting ourselves and yielding ourselves. And I've come to tell you, church, he is coming back for a particular kind of servant. We mean he doesn't care just because you've been in church all your life. He doesn't care just because you're faithful to Bible class and Sunday school. Listen, that's great, and you need that. But can I tell you, my friend, just because you're doing that does not mean that you are a profitable servant. Right. A profitable servant. Listen, if I give you a dollar, if you give me a dollar, and then I turn around, you make an investment. You give me $10,000. I turn around next week and I give you $5,000 back. Would you keep giving investments to me? Yes. So next week you're going to give me another $10,000. You're not. Especially, well, hold on. If I give you $5,000 back, yeah, I guess you could. Especially if I come back next week and give you another $5,000. But for every $10,000 you get, you only get $5,000, not $1,500. $5,000. After a while, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to have any money. You know why? Because the profit isn't being, there's no profit involved. I'm actually losing more than I'm gaining. And what God is saying is he is looking for a profitable servant. And when God cursed the fig tree, he cursed that fig tree. Why? Because that fig tree was not producing fruit in its season. He wasn't dealing with the fact. He didn't talk about all the other seasons. The Lord's not coming back in the season that you produced fruit in the past. He's coming back in the season that you're in at that moment and at that time. And when he comes back, he's coming back and he wants to find us working. He wants to find us laboring. He wants to find us being faithful over the small things. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Listen, what God is saying tonight, he has said, I want you to begin to focus on some of these small things. Why? Because, listen, if we don't, I've seen it where churches, praise the Lord, churches, and you know, like I said, I've been here before. I was here, praise the Lord, years ago. And listen, I thank the Lord for what has happened and what's occurred. And listen, there's been some changes and there's been some growth. But can I tell you, church, that there are some people that are comfortable. You're comfortable. And listen, you know, there are some folk that are like, there's some places in society, they're comfortable. Like when you look at the projects, when you look at Section 8 and things like that, that thing was actually put in place. Yeah, I had a reason for that, but ultimately it was supposed to be temporary. We put this in place to help you until you can get on your feet so that you can get something else. We're going to bring the price all the way down. You only have to pay $20 a month for rent, and hopefully you'll be able to save enough money that you can get your own and get back on your feet. Now, folks, praise the Lord, they're like, man, I'm not moving out of here. As a matter of fact, that in those same properties, they turn around and they get these gangs. And now what happens is they start claiming territory that ain't even theirs.
Right.
Yeah. They will kill you over some property that they don't even own. And they make a hood out of it, and it's like, well, you know, you got. I'm getting, you know, I got a good deal here, and they fight to stay in that condition. You got to understand, church, that some of us are used to wasting than we are used to producing.
Right.
We have to be productive. with the season that we're in. We have to be productive in everything that we do. Listen, if you are a son, you've got to be a good, productive son. If you are a daughter, you need to be productive in being a daughter. If you are working at Burger King, you need to be productive in working at Burger King. If you are a father, you need to be a productive father. If you are a mother, you need to be a productive mother. If you are a husband, you need to be a productive husband. If you are a wife, you have to be a productive wife. If we're not productive in letting God govern every office and every position that we occupy in our life, how is he going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What are you faithful over if he wasn't faithful over all? He's either Lord of all or Lord of nothing at all. Can I tell you, church, that what God is saying is I'm requiring you not just to be faithful at the house of God. I'm calling you to be faithful in your own house. Yeah. I need you to be faithful in your neighborhood. I need you to be faithful to humanity. I need you to be faithful to society. I need you to be faithful when it comes down to the voice of God in your life. So what are you saying, Brother Hurd? I'm telling you that maybe some of the problems that are going on in your life is because you have been working for another company. Because, listen, you know, there's some places that, you know, you're in construction. You know, there's some places that will work you like a bald mule. I was in building trades. There was one company, praise the Lord, that was out there. My God, they worked you like a Hebrew slave. I mean, they will work you until your back gave out on you. They work you, praise the Lord, until your kneecaps are gone. Praise the Lord. They will work you, man. They beat you like a bald mule. And then they would cast you to the curb. Listen, God wants to give you a reward. But you can't get a reward that you haven't worked for. How are you going to get treasures in heaven and you haven't stored any treasures up there? Some of the things that are going on in your world right now is because, listen, this church for far too long has been in a place where you have been comfortable of coming and going but not being effective and productive in the way that God has called you to be. You have been comfortable. And listen, I am the voice of God, all right? I'm not the pastor. I am a different voice, all right? But we're speaking by the same spirit, all right? And basically what we're doing is we have a responsibility of cultivating and perfecting you. What do you mean? Listen, it's not just our job just to come and just preach to you the stuff you want to hear and just grow the place. Listen, you can be grow and you can grow in number and still be ineffective. You can have a whole bunch. Listen, there have been a lot of recalls lately. They manufacture stuff. They got it on the assembly line and they produce a lot of defective parts. Numbers is not what's effective. He's not looking for numbers. He's looking for effectiveness. How effective are you? And I've come to tell you that you're not effective just because you've got the Holy Ghost. You are effective when the Holy Ghost has a hold of you. You got to let the Holy Ghost lead you. You got to let the Holy Ghost rule through you. You got to let the Holy Ghost dictate to you. Order my steps, Lord. Not just get it up and just do it. So what are you doing? The Lord said in one place, he said, I want you to strengthen those things that are ready to die. Listen, church, look around you. It is very well possible that many of us in this room won't be here in 10 years. I probably might not be here in 10 years. We might not be here in 10 days. All right? Nobody's promised anything. Nobody has promised tomorrow. I've seen it, praise the Lord, where if God would not have sent an angel to move my vehicle out of the way, I would have died. I've seen it where God
literally block stuff. And I remember the other day the Lord told me, he said, George, you wouldn't even want to know all of the things that I have blocked in your life. One day I was driving and he spoke words to me. He said, Lord, he said, George, he said, you just missed something. He said, I just blocked something for you. He never told me what it was. But if we realize all of the things that God blocks, some of us would really be fearful. Why? Because you would recognize how much of an attack you're really under. The only thing that is going to save you is your commitment to the voice of God. Amen. So why am I not consumed? It's by his mercies that we're not consumed. So what God is saying, it is it's time for you to get to the place where you wake up. Why? Because he has not found your works perfect. How are your works going to be found perfect? Patience is what has its perfect work. You can't have your works found perfect if patience is not working in your life. There has to be a focus. You have to get rid of some things. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to be patient with some things. And listen, some of us might go on the verge or risking and we're gambling with our souls dealing with hell. Why? Because we are making some things far more important. Some things you just need to die out to. Some things you got to say, you know what? Listen, God's not telling you to quit. God's not telling you to give up. But listen, we are sojourners going through a strange land. We're temporarily here. Listen, I don't know many people that's lived above the 100 years old. And listen, I don't think you're going to be walking around here eating chitlins and hog mugs and pork chops and barbecue ribs and McDonald's and you're going to live 100. I don't see that happening. But when you compare what you have now to eternity, some stuff you should just dust it off. Right. Some stuff you should just say, you know what? I'm not even going to trip about that. I remember one time I saw this guy. He had a tattoo on his back. And I was young. I was young and stupid. I got locked up. And it got erased later on. But I stole a car. And when I stole this car, I ended up getting locked up. And I'm in jail. I'm a young guy in jail. And this one guy came in there. He's all swole up. He beat his girlfriend up. We're about the same age. He's 18. I'm like 19. He's walking around tough because he's got an assault and battery charge. I'm over there. I've just got my mouth shut up because, you know what? I don't want no smoke. And next thing you know, this guy takes his shirt off. Why he did that, I don't know. But he took his shirt off and next thing you know, he's got these tattoos. He's got the family written on the back, all right? And, you know, the family is another term that belongs to the gangster disciples. I don't know if you got those up here. Or back, you know, there's a lot, you know, they're not doing as much of that now in a lot of places. But you have the family on the back, and on top of the eye, it had a 5-point star. Now, the 5-point star actually belonged to, like, your vice lords and people that are of an opposing gang. But this guy, instead of having the 6-point star that belonged to the gangster disciples, he had a 5-point star. So one of the men just happened to observe it. And you know what happened? They beat the guy up for it. And I'm looking, and one guy came and he was like, you know, what are you doing with that? You know, you false flagging, you know, how is it that you got two different gangs tattooed on your body? And he was like, this is my clique. This is my clique, you know. And the guy was like, this ain't no clique. This is an organization. Next thing you know, all I heard was a psh. And all, I mean, when he hit the dude, all the thug left out of him. I mean, the dude was talking like strong, but then it was like, he was like Minnie Mouse after he gets hit. He was like, hello, boys and girls. I'm not a thug anymore. Hits the guy, and when the guy hits, his face hits the metal part of the bed, and boom, he hits the ground. I'm like, oh my God. He got up. I'm like, man, he got a pumpkin head. He had like a little knot. And I was like, oh, this is not a good day. So he hit the ground, came over there, and then next thing you know, somebody slapped him or punched him, and he fell on the ground. I'm like, I'm on the top bunk. This dude's right here, and I'm like, oh God. Because these dudes in this jail at this time, folks got killed. And I'm like, man, why are you? I'm just thinking, like, somebody gonna look up at me and like, you want some too, youngster? You know, I wasn't as big as I am now, you know. But you know, it's, you know, I don't care how big you are. When you got 50 guys in one block, I don't care how tough and big you are. Turn around, and one dude comes, and he stands up over his head. The dude's like, kind of like in a daze. He don't know what's going on. He's getting up, but the dude has got one foot on one bunk and another foot on another bunk. And the dude that's getting up doesn't realize that he's kind of straddled. And next thing you know, the dude raises up his arms from the top bunk and he jumps up in the air with both feet and he comes down on the dude's head two times. I'm like, oh my God. I just done seen a murder. This is a homicide. So I'm over here. I'm trying to act cool because I can't act like I'm scared. So I'm like, the dude gets up and his head was like over there. His head was like, it came out and it slanted. I mean, I never thought that it was possible for a head to be done like this. I knew this dude was dead. And after this happened, I turned around and I looked and I said, my God. Then one of the guys looked at me. He said, you know, I'm over here. I'm like, I'm looking. I'm like, you know, I took off a shirt, you know, because, you know, I knew I was going to get locked up to that day and all that stuff. So, you know, I layered up with a whole bunch of clothes. So, you know, so I took off one of my t-shirts. I said, bro, who you want to put this thing on? I said, don't walk around with that shirt off no more. Keep that shirt on because it's going to save your life. And next thing you know, I'm just sitting on the bed. And when the dudes came by, they was like, you are a youngster? You know, because they could tell I was a little nervous. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm tough, you know. But what happened was, it was petty. It was something small. It was something minor. It was something so insignificant. But it was something big. And listen, church, some of us are making big stuff out of small things. And we're making small things out of big things. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. What are the little foxes in your life? Do you want to see revival in your city more than you want to see your family city? Do you want to see your comfort zone more than you want to see your city saved? Are you just content with just living in your little bitty old house and seeing your little grandbabies from time to time as you slowly drift away into hell? Or are you going to get serious and say, you know what? I have a responsibility. I have a purpose. And I don't want to end up like that fig tree. He's not concerned about the Bible studies you taught. He's not concerned about the ministry you launched. He's not concerned about the preaching, the messages you preach. He's not concerned about the songs that you sung. He's concerned about the state that you're in. When he comes, he said, the house over a tree falls, so shall it lay. You mean? Some of us come to church and we want God to change a temporary problem. We just want him to deal with this temporary issue. And then when the temporary issue is gone, then we're gone. Because we wanted the temporary thing fixed. But many of us are forfeiting eternity for the temporary. Right. Sam, Brother Hurt, God said, I'm calling you to a place of brokenness and repentance. God says, I, like I talked to you the other day, you know, last time I was here, there was teaching. I mean, preaching, and, you know, we had some people get the Holy Ghost, had a few miracles, and we began to deal with that Jezebel spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Come on now. I don't need to talk about Jezebel no more, do I? Right. We dealt with that old Jezebel spirit. And hopefully since then, you've been able to identify if you've got any traits of Jezebel in your life, and you've been able to identify any Jezebels in this church or connected to this church. Why is God doing that? Why? Because listen, if you're going to be productive and bringing forth fruit, you got to get some stuff out of the soil. You know, there's something wrong when it's the same old people that's been here.
Yeah.
It's something wrong when it's the same old folks that's been here. You see what I'm saying? There's something wrong with that. So that means that there's something in the soil. It's not about making anybody mad. It's not about stepping on anybody's toes. This ain't about your toes. This is about the kingdom of God. It's about the will of God. It's about the church of God. It's about souls getting to heaven. It's about what Jesus shed his blood for. I'm not here to represent your feelings. I'm not here to represent your legacy. I'm not here to represent your plan. I'm here to represent the kingdom of God, a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a chief cornerstone of the church, who shed his blood and purchased our souls with his own blood. And when we understand that, we have the responsibility of coming forth. He doesn't care about where you have been. He's concerned about where you're at right now. If you got a Jezebel spirit, repent. If you got a cigarette smoking spirit, repent. If you got an anger spirit, repent. If you got a rebellious spirit, repent. If you got a bitterness spirit, repent. If you got a discord sowing spirit, repent. If you're not submitted to no leadership in your life, repent. If you don't have a church, repent. If you're not walking with God, repent. He's not trying to cast you into hell. He's trying to deliver you from hell. But how are you going to be delivered without a preacher? He's trying to wake you up. He's trying to wake you up, church. He's trying to get you to a place where you quit ignoring stuff. Listen, there's some people that say, you know what? Well, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. The Lord just going to have to fix it. No, he's not going to fix it because you don't want him to fix it.
That's right.
You got to understand that if you were on the verge of getting ready to die, you would be bombarding God. You would be praying. You would be fasting. You would be getting the hold of everybody saying, I got an issue. I got a problem. I need your help. But listen, when God says, there's something in your life that I don't agree with and I want you to get it out of your life, then we make light of it and say, well, God said that he's going to take care of it. You know, Pastor, I've seen it where people that had scares that were like, maybe they thought they had cancer. Maybe they thought they were getting ready to die. Maybe there was some sort of big sickness. And then what happens is when it looks like something's afflicting their flesh, oh man, they get nervous. You walk around. You all right? I'm just praying. I'm calling people. I want to get on the prayer request. I want everybody to pray for me. I've been seeking the Lord. Oh, because I don't want to die. Oh, I'm in the flesh saving business. But then when God begins to identify, you better listen to me, church. When God begins to identify that there's something in your spirit that I don't like. See, it's amazing that the doctor can come and tell you, I see something that's like the size of a little bitty corn nugget, maybe about a quarter size of a corn nugget that's growing in your back or growing in your breasts or growing somewhere in your stomach somewhere. And oh man, it doesn't even have to be anything that he say was cancer, but oh my God. You would go, you would run all kind of tests. You would go from this person to that person. You would go from this specialist to that specialist. You would consult this person. You would go to this prayer meeting, get in this prayer line. You'd have this prophet pray for you. You'd have this person lay hands on you. Why? Because you don't want to die. You got that thing. You got all kind of things that's going in your mind about the potential of what can happen with this thing. But then when God says there's something in your spirit that God is not in agreement with, when God says there's something in your life that he's not in agreement with, oh, now the preacher don't know what he's talking about. Oh, now my husband don't know what he's talking about. Oh, now my Sunday school teacher don't know what he's talking about. I've come to tell you, church, why is it that you make light of the spiritual things but make big the fleshly things? I've come to tell you, church, that God is saying it is time for you to wake up. Because you are wasting your season. Listen, when I was in the first grade, we did a play. And it was the grasshopper and the ants. And I really wanted to be the grasshopper, but the teacher wouldn't let me. There was somebody else that played the part better than me. But I was an ant. I remember somewhere in the play, I can't remember it completely, but all I remember was that we were working, storing up for what was to come. And the grasshopper was wasting time. We called him in the play Hopalong G. I just remember him saying, he walked by, and that was the part I would have to say, walk by and say, you know, see the ants working, and he'd say, no work for me. I'm Hopalong G. And basically, like, life is wonderful. Life is pleasant. Life is kind. No work for me. I'm Hopalong G. No work for me. I'm Reverend Leroy. No work for me. I'm Sister Sarah. Oh, I have nothing to do for the Lord. I'm Brother John. Oh, I have no burden for me. I'm Sister Cal. No word for me. I'm Brother Thomas. I mean, listen, you're not Thomas. Your brother's Thomas, right? Okay, all right, praise God. No word for me. There's no word for me. This man turns around and he gets to the end. And now when it is time, I remember we had these little robot things we were playing with. Teacher had us dressed up as ants. Basically, she put little trash bags around us, tied it up around us, and stuffed us with newspaper. And we were little cute ants. We were sitting down on the ground and we were playing with these little robot toys at the end. And Hopalong G hopped around. And he looked in the window. He could see us just enjoying ourselves. Because when he was playing and wasting time, we were redeeming time and we were working. And listen, church. Listen. You have a purpose. Sister, you have a purpose. Brother, you have a purpose. Brother, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. Listen, God's not concerned about what's been. He's concerned about right now. He's concerned about right now. I want you to quit allowing everybody access to your life. I want you to take responsibility. Quit depending on people. Quit depending on people. Sister, what's your name? Not you. Elizabeth. Sister, what's your name? Sister Terry. All right. You're the one I prayed for the other day, right? All right. Sister Terry. Sister Elizabeth. Listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to quit. I see something, all right? I see a spirit. Right? And I feel like I have the liberty to say that. Because I'm trying to help you. All right? I'm trying to help you. Listen, the enemy is just fighting you in your mind. But I see a spirit feeding off of you. And at times I've seen you pray for each other. I've seen you feed off of each other. All right? I want you to separate yourself from any spirit that is not submitted to the Spirit of God. Anybody that's not submitted to the Spirit of God, and even each other, I want both of you to spend more time submitted and being influenced by the leadership of your pastor. I don't know who's speaking into your life. I don't know who it is, but I want you to, it's time for you to hone in. It's not, you're not watching for each other, so that sweet lady next to you, she's not watching for your soul. Sweet lady for you next to you is not watching for your soul. Only a pastor. And God gives pastors. We don't select them. God chooses pastors for us. Why? Because, listen, God wants to produce something in this church. But we got to get into the field of this church. I'm dealing with some stuff because we're getting into the heart of this church. Why? So that your pastor is a revivalist. I've seen him in action. You got the real McCoy. You got the real deal. You don't have to go across town. You don't have to go to another church down the street. You don't have to find. You don't have to leave here. No, this is a man of God. This is a woman of God here. But listen. If you're not submitted to your pastor, you're not submitted to God. There should not be a voice more closer in your life than the voice of your pastor and your pastor's wife. And the last guy that was here when I was here, he's a great guy. I love him. I can't remember his wife, but I remember some, everything looks different. If they turned the church back the other kind of way, maybe I saw some, I think it was some orange pews. If it looked like it did when I first came here, I probably would recognize some of you guys. But now you know, change everything around, I can't recognize people anymore. But listen, the Lord knows you. And even when it comes down to whenever you go to a church and you've seen several leaderships, you have to transition. I like I said, I pastored a church. And I had to back off from the people that I was pastoring so that I could let the new pastor do his work in the spirit. And sometimes a natural relationship can hinder a spiritual one. What do you mean? That means that sometimes something may work in its season, but afterwards you got to back up. And what I'm telling you, church, is I'm trying to come in and do surgery in a small period of time. And this is what I feel. I feel that if you would hone in, there's going to be teaching. Pastor, the Lord showed me a vision. This right here is a step, right? You know what that's called? It's called a riser. Risers takes us to the next level. Steps is what gives us the ability to kind of walk until we get to the next level. And then we come to the riser. And the riser, we pick our foot up and gets us to the next step. But you're not going to rise up the steps if you don't have risers, and you're not going to go up the risers if you don't have steps. Could you imagine, typically, like I said, I was a floor guy, so I had to put carpet in a lot of houses and all that stuff too. Typically, in most houses, if you have an upstairs, downstairs, you've got about 13 steps. Could you imagine if you came home and you had to go upstairs, but there was just one big wall, there were no steps because there were no risers? You know what you'd have to do? You'd have to jump from one part of the ground all the way up a flight of stairs just to get up steps. But the Lord said, I don't want to do that. And contractors are not going to do that. Oh, should you be in trouble? So what they do is they've got it written and they've got it in the law, but you've got to put so many steps up. And what those do, and what that is the Lord showed me. He said, steps are like a season of teaching. All right? And what happens is everything that you want, you got to be patient. You got to teach it. And then what happens, you come to a place where they come together. Remember the Bible declared that in church, this is also with your family. I'm talking to your pastor. But everything I talk to your pastor, you need to do this at home.
Yeah.
All right? You need to do this in your house. Why? Because when Joshua and Caleb, when they were leading the people of God, they were leading families. The Lord gave Abraham a family. You follow me? They spoke to the leaders, and the leaders spoke to the men, and the men spoke to their families. So whatever I say to your pastor, man, your ears need to perk up. Wives, if your husbands are never in the house of God, they don't listen to God, and they're not doing what your pastor's talking about, you need to start praying for them. The Bible says you will win them over with a good conversation, not a nagging one, not a complaining one. If your husbands don't have the Holy Ghost, that's unacceptable. You have the responsibility as a wife. The Bible begins to declare about how the unbelieving wife sanctifies the believing one. That is not a time to get yourself in a position where you get the pity of all the other women in the church that are bitter towards their husbands. But that's the opportunity to seize that moment and say, you know what? I'm going to get a hold of God. Well, sir, that's Bible.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, pastor, he's walking, he's teaching, he's laying that foundation for that level, and then you're walking on it. And then after that happens, you know what? We come up together. We take that step up, and then boom, we go to the next level. We're not gonna get to the next level beyond the time that God quicker than what he wants us there.
Yeah.
But sometimes we can get there a little later.
Right.
But you can't force the process. And there's some steps that you get on that maybe what might have been step one might have only taken but maybe a couple weeks. But you get on step two, step three, it might take 3 years. But it's a process. Why? Because the steps, it's not leading just to a particular place of just great outpouring revival, just great event in your life. But there's a highway that leads to heaven. And what you're doing is we're walking up to heaven, and your pastor's leading you, and men, you're leading your homes and your family. And we have a responsibility to do that. And listen, friend, whatever you've done in your past is behind you. The Bible says old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I know I've taken a lot of time, but listen, I'd rather take your time and you get it. You follow me? You get it. Get it right. I get a lot of people, they say, man, Brother Hurt goes too long and this stuff. And he goes way entirely too long, but if you go back to a lot of those churches, those pastors, they'd be like, man, well, they were in church 3 hours. But the fruit that comes from it, it's going to produce something. But listen, church, God values you enough. It's time to say, you know what? It's time for me to gain my bearings. It's time for me to get plugged in. It's time for me to get involved. It's time for me to seek out the will of God. So if I'm in a season, and this message is seasons, what season am I in? Lord, I want to know this season. I mean, you've got to have a desire. Anybody like people that are lazy? I never understood a lazy man. Lazy people, lazy men just disturb me. I mean, seriously, they just disturb me. But a lazy person, they expect something without doing nothing. Listen, church, God has an expectation. He's given us the tools, and he's not throwing us out there and say, hey, do it, make it happen. No, he's there. But listen, I like those guys that like to get up and go to work. I don't like those guys, man, that call off work every other day, man. I'm just tired. I had a runny nose last night. I'm calling off work because I got a runny nose. I like those guys that will get up. And God likes those guys. They have a passion. And that's what you're doing. You is what you call having a work ethic. And what everybody in this room needs to do, I know some of you are retired, but you got to get untired. Yeah. Some of you get retired, now you got to get untired and start getting involved about the things of God, finding out, what am I supposed to be producing for the kingdom of God? What am I supposed to be producing? What is God calling out of me? And then what happens? I get involved. I start submitting myself, and I start saying, you know what, I'm going to do what God's telling me to do, exactly the way he's telling me to do it, and God's going to produce some fruit in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody want to be fruitful?
Amen.
Anybody want to be multiplied?
Yes.
Anybody want to subdue?
Amen.
Anybody want to have dominion?
Yes, sir.
Anybody want to replenish? So don't worry about what's behind you. Look at what's in front of you. Start saying, you know what? While I'm waiting on God in this season, let me look and see what I can fix that's broken. You know, I got a friend of mine. He's a landscaper. And in the wintertime, he brings all of his stuff into this. He's got this big old garage. He brings in all of his stuff, and you know what he does? He starts sharpening his tools. He starts getting his tools and things ready. You know why? Because the season that you're in is always preparation for the season that's coming. The season that you're in is never for you to do what you want in that season. You're living for the season that's to come.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
This friend of mine, he gets up and he goes there, man, and he works that season. And you know what? When the season comes, his stuff doesn't break down. He's able to produce more. He's able to do more. Somebody in this room needs to say, Lord, help me to come out of this season. Some of our hearts are in the past. Some of us are stuck in previous seasons. Some of us in this room, we are sowing when we should be watering. It's not going to work. That season of sowing is past. You've got to now water. There are some people that are trying to water when it's actually time to reap the harvest. Come on, some of us are in different seasons.
Come on, we got to find out the season. We got to desire the season. So what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, we want the purpose for our life. Listen, when you connect with the season, when you connect with the purpose and the plan of God for your life, there's going to be something that's going to be produced. You're going to produce something. There's going to be a flow. Listen, there's a flow. Praise the Lord. There are men that plant crops all around this world, and they got this system. They've got this flow, and it's working for them. But what happens is they understand the seasons. They understand the times. They understand the system. And what God is wanting you to do, He wants you to understand the times and the seasons. The Bible says the Antichrist comes, and he comes to change times and seasons. Listen, this church, we got to be careful, because we're living in that Antichrist age, that spirit that wants to change times and laws. The Bible says change times and change laws. Listen, we don't want to be confused. We don't want to be doing what the world is doing. We don't want to be confused. We don't want to be walking after what the enemy has changed. No, this is a time for the church. This is a time for your family to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This is a time of miraculous. This is a time of revival. But listen, revival is not just an event. Revival is ongoing. It's ongoing. And right now, we're having revival. Sister, will you stand up? You're tired. I know. I don't. Come stand right here, then. You can sit down if you want. Are you sure? What's your name?
Karen.
How are you? That's, you laugh a lot. I bet you're a joy to be around. Yeah. That's how you deal with your pain. Yeah. God said today, I'm going to reach in. He said, I want you to know that when you come before Him, you can come before Him with the mask off. You know, it's like us going to a doctor. And I remember when I had to go get eyeglasses. I learned how, I didn't realize that my eyes were bad. I thought everybody's eyes were like mine, if you had good eyesight. I didn't realize until the other day, like I told my wife, I said, man, I said, I saw something. I was like, I actually realized that at times I could see, I just knew how to identify shapes. I could draw very well, but I could identify shapes. Jesus is calling. No, it's no problem. It's no problem. It's no problem. It's no problem. They want to know where you're at. You want to get it? Go ahead. Go get it. Okay. All right. Well, listen.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. But listen. Sometimes, what was I saying? No, before that. The eyeglasses, I thought I was seeing. I really realized I could not see that well. I was in denial, and I remember being in the, when the eye doctor put the thing on my face and started trying to find my, I came in, I said, my wife says I need glasses. I don't believe her. I just need to hurry up and get in and get out of here. And I was like, just let me get in and get out of here. Go back, tell her she don't know what she's talking about, and blah, blah, blah. So I went there, and I passed the first test. I was like, good, so I'm good? She's like, yeah, you're good. You passed that. I was like, well, cool. Like, you know, what's it? She's like, no, we need to go to another room, though. I said, what's this room? To this other room. And, you know, that letter that showed the E's, and I was like, no, then it had this thing. It was like,
It was like a Total Recall kind of little gadget deal. They put it. They said, "I want you to sit your eyes in here," and it had this thing. And it was like, next thing you know, it went like that, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "They did it again." And he's like, "How's that look?" And I was like, "What'd you just do?" It scared me, because I was like, "Nobody should be able to see that clear." Like, nobody should be able to see that clear. And I said, she's like, that's your prescription right there. I said, no. I said, nobody sees that clear. I said, you mean to tell me real people see this clear? It's like a magnifying glass. And then she was like, yeah, that's how you're supposed to see. And I remember going home. I was so frustrated. I was like, I was depressed. Because like, I got to go get glasses. Like, I'm the only person in my household coming up that didn't need glasses. It's possible I probably needed glasses back then, but I knew how to fake the test. I knew shapes, but I remember telling the woman, I said, you know what? I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. I said, let me just relax and just be honest with you and tell you what I said, because I knew shapes. So even when they were very blurry, I knew the shapes. And with that, I could tell you what it was, even though I totally couldn't see it. I began to relax, and as I began to relax the muscles in my eyes, it was like, my God. But it was there that I could get something corrected. And sometimes when we come to God, it's like we want to come and we want to look like we're perfect. Trust me, turn around. You think these people perfect? I know some of them. Trust me. Starting with myself, I'm definitely not. I need God's help. And my buddy back there, say that again. Need him. We're here because he's still working on us. But he works best when we are transparent. We take the mask off. I remember when I was. Remember one time I started realizing that women. It was so long I didn't know if women were wearing makeup. It was hard for me to tell if that was a woman's hair or not. And then, like, I'd see somebody, but hold on, you look different. Where I know you from? I'm like, well, you know me. I'm like, I don't know you. It looked totally different. You know why? Because they were so done up that it wasn't that they weren't beautiful already. It was that they put this mask on. And they made this image and they projected themselves to be something that they weren't. And they were trying to cover up the imperfections. And sometimes when we come before God, we feel like, you know, we want to do ourselves. God says, I want to put you together. He knows the details of your life. He knows the things that are out of place. And God is not like man. See, you know any haters? There's some people that are going to say something. If you get a new car, they're going to talk about it just because it's your car. They see something about you. There's a pimple that jumps up there. Everybody can say, oh, that's beautiful. I like that, you know. But they're going to find something wrong with it. They're going to find something. So what happens is we go through life and we are preparing. We make adjustments to avoid criticism. And what's going on is there's so many things in our life. It's one thing when we got all this stuff going on within me. It's a whole other thing when you not just got stuff going on within me. I understand. I got things going on with people. I got things going on with this. Listen, I'm telling you that God is calling you. You are his child. You are his creation. And I know that maybe you prayed. I know you tried to get a hold of him before. I know you've probably been in the church, probably been baptized before, and you probably confessed to God and all that stuff. But I've come to tell you that God wants to do something uniquely different tonight. I'm telling you that this season has changed. And what you're having to do is like this. Listen, I don't know how to... If they put me on an island somewhere and they said that, hey, I got to make it happen, I'd probably die. Because I don't know nothing about harvesting anything. I just know how to go to Walmart. I don't know how to harvest it. I know how to cook it, though. Sometimes what we have to have is we have to have a voice. Like this man. Come here, Pastor. We have to have another voice like this sister. This is his wife. This is wonderful. Wonderful people. You got to have voices like this. And what happens is these people, they're like, it's like Farmer Joe. And this is Farmer Jane. And if you're planted on an island somewhere that you've never been, and you're going to have to eat. You got to know how to harvest some things. And you want to make sure you got some people that know how to eat, know how to not just cook something, but know how to produce something. He is a shepherd. And he has the ability to produce in you and make, beautify you, and then take you out of some places. He's going to preach you into heaven. He's going to preach you out of the condemnation. He's going to teach you out of the guilt. She's going to pray with you. She's going to teach you some things. There's going to be a relationship. A relationship, I'm telling you. God is connecting you. I feel that. I would not have called you out like this if I didn't feel it. But you feel that? I feel that. This is right.
It's time for me, I think.
Yes.
God's going to do that. There's going to be some healing, and there's some things God's going to do for you tonight.
Yes.
I'm telling you that there's a long haul. It's been a long time coming. But these people are going to be people that they're going to sow. And there are going to be things that they're going to say to you that's going to be like, man. And you're going to see it grow. McDonald's and ate. Make you feel like you was dying later.
Yeah.
But then you go over, get you something that's healthy, and it's like, man, I feel energized. I feel like I'm getting my life back. That's what's going to be with these people. And not only is God going to help them for you, God's going to use them to help empower you. And what God's going to do in you, he's going to do in your family. But right now, what I want you to do, you don't have to know everything. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall you hear without a preacher? How shall he preach except it be said? You have faith. And you're a woman that believes God. I know you do. And I know that there is a brokenness in your spirit. And I know that you're hurting. And I know that God has brought you here. Because God wants to heal the brokenhearted. And God said tonight, you can trust him. You're not having fictional, wishful thinking. Your hope is there because God has given it to you. There's deep down inside, there is something that believes that there's something more to life than this. And it didn't come from you, that came from God. God's getting ready to produce that. And I'm so happy for you because I literally feel his presence all over you right now. And the Bible says that when the Spirit of God shows up, he liberates. It says, when the Spirit of the Lord is liberty, I wouldn't feel his presence here if he wasn't ready to set you free. There are keys in his hands right now.
Thank you.
He's going to set you free from some things tonight. I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of here. You're not going to be the same anymore. You're going to walk out of here. You're going to walk out of here a new creature tonight. I'm telling you. There's decades of just wounds and stabbings and hurt and tragedies and all these things that you've just been carrying. You saw it in the people. You saw it in the places. You saw it in the vices. But it seems like everything that you saw, it's like it didn't work. It just fell apart. And it's like it didn't make things better. It's just like it made things worse. It looked like it would make it better temporarily. But then what happens is long term, it made things worse. I'm telling you, God's going to set you free. There's some things that you've been used to having temporary fixes with, but God said, I'm going to fix it for eternity. Yes. He said, I'm going to start some things right now. Yeah. There's some things that you're not going to have to deal with anymore. It's not like what you're right now. The reason why I say do that is because lifting of the hands basically is I surrender all to God. Nothing wrong with the tears. You might not like to cry, but listen, you're going to love to cry because you know what? You're going to be crying tears of joy now because God is going to begin to heal. But right now, your heart is broken. And the anointing is here. The Bible says the anointing is because of that, the yokes are destroyed. There's some wings and some yokes that have been weighing you down. But God said, I'm going to destroy this thing on your life right now. So right now, I want you to do it. I want you to say, that's it. Come on, that's it. I want you to begin to talk to God. Whatever begins to come out of your mouth, be honest. If you're hurting right now, I want you to begin to speak right now because it's because it's just saying, can I see him? He wants to hear from me right now. So right now, I want you to begin to talk to him. Begin to say, Lord, I need you right now. Come on, that's it. There you go. That's it. Come on. Come on. That's it. There you go. That's it. Come on. That's it. I want to be free of things. That's it. That's it. There you go. Come on. You're speaking from the heart. There you go. Keep talking to the heart. He wants honesty. That's it. Come on. That's it. Keep doing that, everybody. The children, you just begin to pray right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Go ahead. Talk to us. Come on. Yeah, there you go. Come on now. Come on, that's it. Oh, yeah, come on, that's it. He's getting ready to do that. That's it. Come on, he said, come with me. Always is a leader. That's it. Everything. He said, I'm going to give you rest. Come on, that's it. Oh, yes. Come on, that's it. Oh, yes. Come on. Come on. Come on, he's going to do that. Just say, Lord, I want to give you everything, God. Come on, come on. That's it. That's it. That means you're hitting. That means you're willing to turn from everything. Are you willing to turn from everything that's not like God? Come on, I'm going to just go out of pain and everything. That's it. There you go. Oh, yes, that's it. Come on. Oh, yeah, there you come on. That's it. He's going to do that for you tonight. Come on, that's it. You're being honest with him. Come on, sister. Now, I feel the Holy Ghost all over you. I want you to just begin to tell him, thank you for his mercy right now. Come on. Oh, yeah, there you go. Come on. You can't praise him enough. Come on. Come on, you can't praise him, but he not moved. The Bible says he dwells in the midst of praise. Come on. That's it. He's doing it. Come on, that's it, sister. Oh, yeah, there you go. Uh-huh, there you go, come on. That's it, keep praising, because in a moment, I'm going to lay my hands on your hands. God's going to wait on the outside of you. He's going to get on the inside of you, because in a moment, he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on. Oh, yeah, there you go, come on. That's it, keep talking to him, because your language is getting ready to change. What happened in the book of Acts is getting ready to happen to you right now. Come on, that's it, come on, you can talk in tongues. There it is, come on, that's it. Oh, yeah. God, there you go. Come on. That's it. That, yes, come on. Come on, church. The Holy Ghost is getting ready to fill her. I feel him all around her right now. Come on. She's getting ready to talk in tongues. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Her language is getting ready. It's changing right now. Come on, that's it. She's stuttering right now. Come on, that's it. There it is. Come on, that's it. There it is. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. There it is. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. That's it. Yes, that's it. Come on. I heard it. Come on, do that again. Yes, come on, yes, come on, yes, come on, that's it, she's talking in tongues, church, come on, she's talking in tongues, come on, that's it, keep doing that, yes,
come on, she's talking in tongues right now, come Come on, the Holy Ghost is in this room. Come on, she's being filled right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says all of a sudden, come on. Come on, he is healing her. Come on, he is healing her. Come on, that's it. Oh, la la manda ba shata la la manda ba kaya la bohu. Ya la la manda ba shaya la la ba kaya la ba kaya la ba shata la ba. Oh, la la manda ba shata la la ba kaya la ba ko ba shata la ba. Oh, yeah, there you go. Keep talking in tongues. That's it. Come on, that's it in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, church. Heaven is rejoicing right now. Why? Because she came in here bound, but she's going to leave here free. Come on, she came in here sad, but she's going to leave here with the joy of the Lord. Oh, God, we worship you. Come on. Oh God, do you remember the day that God filled you with the Holy Ghost? Do you remember the day that you talked in other tongues? Do you remember the other day that God washed away your sins? Do you remember the day that God broke the chains off of your life? Do you remember the other day, that day when the shackles fell? Come on, somebody in this room needs to rejoice with heaven. Somebody in this room needs to glorify God. Somebody in this room needs to worship the living King. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, God's going to wash away her sins tonight. Oh, every one of her sins. Come on. Come on, do you remember the day that God washed away your sins? Do you remember the day you got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Do you remember that day, praise the Lord, where you came out of that water a new creature? Come on, some of you got baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you got rebaptized in Jesus' name. And when you got rebaptized in Jesus' name, the sins came off of your life. The weight came off of your life. The yoke came off of your life. And I've come to tell you tonight that God is going to do that very thing. Yeah, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. There you go. Don't put off for the day. You got any kids? You got any kids?
No.
You don't?
Not at all. Well,
not at all. They're all older. Right. I mean, but they're your babies. All right. You ever told them don't put off for today? I mean, don't put off for tomorrow. I'm sorry. What you can do today. Don't put God off anymore. Do it today. Amen. And I think everybody in this room needs to do that. When we were serving the devil, we always put God off for tomorrow and gave the devil today. But now what we're going to do is we're going to give God today and put that devil off. And say, you know what, I just deal with you another time, but I'm going to keep putting God first. And you know what? You never have to worry about the devil putting second. You know why? Because when God's first, there's no other God coming after him. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Put your hands together and worship the Lord. Yeah, come on. Yeah, go ahead and take her. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on. Let's rejoice again. Come on. Hallelujah. Once was blind. Once was blind, but now I see. Church, listen. There's a soil here. And God wants to produce. God wants to plant. It's like an old field. I was in California last week.
and I was looking at some of the fertile fields that were in all of that land when you get over outside of Bakersfield, in between Bakersfield and San Jose. And I was looking like, man, if I owned some of that property, I would plant some stuff. There's a lot of produce that is sent around the world from that little area. I'm telling you, church, there's a lot of fruit that God wants to send around the world here in Brunswick, here at Church of Pentecost of Brunswick, Ohio. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't despise the season that you're in. Some of you, I'm telling you, God's getting ready to activate some things in you. You get ready to go home. You get ready to say, honey, we getting ready to make room for God. We're getting ready to find out what the plan of God is, and we're going to do it. How many of you are going to commit to that? Amen. Put your hands together and worship the Lord again. Amen. I think they're going to go downstairs. They're going to baptize. Please, if you could, I think they recorded this. These services that I preach, and especially if I preach a long time, you want to watch them over and over again. You want to watch them. You want to watch this message a few times. And not just watching it just to hear it. I want you to come with your hearts open and have a willingness to do it. Amen. Because God said a whole lot. Amen. Yes. God bless you. We love you. And we see you again tomorrow at 7 p.m. in Jesus' name.